be our last service in this building. Amen. So we need everybody who made their pledges for to help us raise the money. We need those pledges in the name of Jesus as soon as possible, because we have to pay approximately about $10,000 to get everything taken care of. Those who didn't make pledges, let me tell you something. Trust God. Amen. Just step out by faith. The Bible says he'll minister seed to the sower. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to say something. Can I be a nice pastor? I don't think one man in the whole ministry made a pledge. I don't think one man. I think the pledges were made by all women. That's all I'm going to say. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to be able to do this, to expedite it and get it done, because our last service will be here Sunday, and we want to get out of here. We've already moved stuff over there. So the only thing that will be left in the building will be actually the sanctuary. After Sunday, that will be tore down and taken over to the new building. And you can join us on our first Sunday service, October 9th. Somebody say October 9th. Amen. So if you didn't make a pledge yet, you can grab an envelope in the back and believe God for that $100. The Bible said he'll minister seed to the sower. And I'm just going to let you guys know, amen, when I get done with this series on prayer, we're going to bring this church completely out of poverty. Because I'm going to teach on money until everybody get the right mindset concerning giving and receiving. Amen. We're going to remove the excuses. You know how people are. I can't do it, and I'm going through this, and I'm going through that. Faith has nothing to do with your personal ability. It has to do with God's ability. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible said he's going to beautify the house of his glory. That means we're going to teach people how to trust God. Amen. So before we can even step into that, I got to obey the Lord and continue teaching on prayer. So turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Somebody say praise the Lord. Can I just throw one out there for y'all? We're going into prayer, but I'm going to throw one out there. Somebody say, throw it out, Pastor. We was at Bill Winston Conference, and my wife and I, we had prepared to give what we had prepared to give. Amen. And while we were there, we knew exactly, I had already planned exactly what I was going to give while I was there. And you know how it is when you're going for a whole week, you know what I mean? You know, every day they're going to take an offering. So you take the offering and you break it up in those every days so you can give something every single day. Amen. And we were there, and I had given my wife, I'm just going to bring it, I gave my wife $100. That was her money to do whatever she wanted to do with it. It had nothing to do with the offering. And the offering plate came around, and my wife took her off her money, and she said, I'm going to give it. First thing I'm thinking about is, dang, she's going to want some more money from me the next day. I'm just being real. I'm trying to build your faith up. She said, I'm going to give it, and I'm going to believe God for my house. Now, if you got to know the story. Me and my wife had a big house out in the country, and it just wasn't the Lord how things were working out, amen. And we moved, and we had to take a smaller home. And the smaller home that we were in, I was fine with it because I could live in a tuna can. I could live in a crate, amen. But my wife was not happy. It was a four-bedroom, but it was very small for us because she had to give away half our stuff in order for us to be able to live. So when you see four-bedroom, you're thinking probably it was really big. It's not. You know, it was a very small house. It's a Cape Cod house. And my wife was miserable in the house, but she kept, you know, doing it. And then when she did that, I just kind of like laughed with her. She was serious, though. So she dropped that money in the offering plate. Somebody said she put it in the offering plate. And Bill Winston had said something to the fact about houses. I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said something to the fact about houses. We got back home, and I was minding my own business doing something. I think I was doing something at the new church, and my wife, matter of fact, I was. I was unloading something in the new building, and my wife came up to me, and she said, you know that house we looked at 2 years ago? I said, yeah. She said, it's available. I'm sitting there like, man, God, I don't want to move. I just move. You know what I mean? So, and she said, well, you know, she got a little attitude with me. Somebody say, she got a little attitude with me. She went over there, and she looked at the house, and then I went over there behind her. I went over there. When we got done, we moved into the house with $0. Now, see, some people just think that that's natural. The house got all hardwood floors, 3 bedrooms. It's very beautiful. It's a beautiful home. Beautiful home. We moved in for $0. Now, I'm going to tell you what we moved in with. We moved in with another currency called faith. Because it was her faith. And I told her, I said, I'm glad that you did not listen to me. Amen. Because I was cool with the Cape Cod. But I'm happier now. Amen. I got more joy because Pastor Mac always taught me something. You know, I draw different principles from different pastors. He said, you know, when you're doing ministry, you have to make sure your wife is happy. Because people will drive y'all crazy. So she got to have something to fall back on. Amen. Amen. Let's look at verse 13. I'm just trying to show you something right here. Amen. Just tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, get engaged. Get engaged because I'm believing God for miracles tonight. I'm believing God for miracles tonight. Okay, somebody throw the time out to me. Don't say God's time. Just tell me the time. Somebody, is that the time, 7:40? It's 7:40? Okay. Let's do this in Jesus' name. We're gonna talk about prayer, but I'm going to teach you something that's going to be rock solid in your spirit tonight. This is my prayer life, and I'm going to teach it to you because, amen, so goes the priest, so goes the people. So I want to make sure that you know how to accurately pray. Because last week when we were talking about prayer, we brought out the dilemma that we have in the body of Christ between what is spiritual and what is carnal. Somebody say spiritual and carnal. Now, here's the danger about church. You can come to church and you can look the part and never have an intimate, close relationship with God. And we can only detect what your relationship with God is like by your actions progressively over time. So you could tell me that you love me and you could tell the person next to you that you love them. But as times get tougher and you start going through the progress or the process, I'm trying to say, and life start hitting you upside the head, your actions are going to tell me what your faith really is about. So I want to give you what has kept me solid for 20 years. Amen. This right here. And I want to give you prayer tonight. Amen. Now I want to show you the benefits of prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 13 says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, and if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, I want you to circle the word if. Very small word, yet this word is a conditional word. We call it a conditional promise. He said, if my people. Somebody say, if my people. Now, raise your hands if you are his people. Come on, raise your hands if you are his people. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name. Are you called by his name? Yes, you are. The Bible said that the whole family in heaven and earth are named by his name. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Somebody say, humble themselves. Now, this word humble means to get low, to abase oneself. If you can get low, I call it getting off the high horse of your own pride. The opposite of coin. In the Bible, I like to take certain words and put them on a coin. Just like you have a head side and you have a tail side. The head side is humility. The tail side is pride. Pride means self-dependence. Independence of God. Now I teach this a lot, but you got to make sure that you get this in you, because people innately, because we have God's creative ability on the inside of us, we have the ability to do things and create things. I was hearing Pastor Creflo Dollar say something yesterday, and it was really powerful. He said, you have to be a person that knows what God has called you to do rather than doing what you can do. See, you can be called to do something and not do that because you're doing what you can do or what you're good at. So we have the ability to look good, but really need to look God. Sometimes we can have good ideas rather than a God idea. That's why it's hard to discern, amen? But prayer makes the difference. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Somebody say, humble themselves and pray. Now, I'm going to break this down. Prayer simply means to communicate with God. And I'm going to add this to it, with all of your heart. Not just going through the motions, but I mean with all of your heart. The Greek word for prayer in the New Testament is prosukame or prosukame, which means pros meaning before or face to face. Ukame, to pray. So to pray in the New Testament, which is a type and shadow, or which is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Did you catch that? The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. That means hidden. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So to pray in the New Testament, which is the revelation of the Old Testament pray, means to get in God's face. Somebody say, get in God's face and petition him for whatever it may be. Now, there's different type of prayers, but tonight we're going to work on something. Amen. He said, if you pray and seek my what? Seek my what? Now, I want to show you something because I want to disturb something right quick. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Keep your finger right there and turn to Romans chapter 8 because I disobeyed the Holy Ghost the other day. And I'm going to make up for it. Amen. Because Sunday he told me to do something. Now, I need you, Pastor Sturgis. I need you to come over here. Okay. Pastor Sturgis today. Turn around this way. Pastor Sturgis represents Jesus. Now, Victoria, I need you real fast. Come on up here. Minister, Julie Page, I need you. Victoria is going to represent provision. Come over here. Minister Page is going to represent protection, okay? Come on, Patty. Come on up here, dear. Somebody say provision. Protection. Stand behind him. Stand right behind Minister Gerard, Pastor Gerard. And Sister Patty is going to represent peace. Now, how many people want protection? Come on, somebody say glory to God. How many people want provision? Somebody say glory to God. How many people want peace? If we take those three things, we can sum up everything that God has is in those three things. Provision, protection, and peace. Now, here in the scripture, he said, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my what? Most Christians spend more time praying to God about provision, protection, and peace. So their attitude towards God is, God, give me provision. God, meet my needs. God, protect me. God, do this. God, give me peace. So really, their relationship with God is a monologue to get him to be Santa Claus for what they're going through. Now, he said, seek my face. Somebody said, seek my face. Provision, protection, and peace represent his hand. It represents what he can do for you. But look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? Somebody say with him. Also freely give us all things. So when we seek his face, we get him. And with getting him, we get everything he got. Come on, get the Lord a hand clap. Is that clear? Is that clear? Y'all can have a seat. Is that clear? Because we can build our confessions. We can build our professions based upon peace and prosperity and all of that stuff. And God wants us to have all of that. But I'm at a place in my life where I just simply want him. I just simply want God. Because guess what? A new car really won't satisfy me but for a moment. But you know what'll satisfy me? When somebody come in here and their leg grows out. And then the whole city of Adrian hears that their leg grew out. And then hundreds of people come in to hear the word of God. And that's what's going to be happening here. Because we're going to keep talking about prayer until healings manifest. Not progressive healings. Not 30 days from now you're going to be healed. I'm talking about the kind of healings like John G. Lake, where he sat there and got sick and tired of his wife dying and called up John Alexander Dowie on the telephone and said, look here, I believe God can heal my wife. She's on the deathbed. She was technically, medically dead. And then he called his prayer partner up on the phone, somebody who was his mentor, John Alexander Dowie, who created the whole city of Zion, Illinois, that has a 1,000-year ban of alcohol and tobacco on it. Come on, somebody say amen. Because one man of God had enough gumption on the inside of him to seek God. So John Alexander Dowie got off the phone and they began to pray together, and his wife got up. And when his wife got up, the whole city heard about it. And guess what? His ministry just flourished because he couldn't even have enough room in his house to keep all the people that kept coming because of that miracle that happened. Somebody say, seek his face. Glory be to God. Now, let's go back. Is that good, y'all? Is that good? See, let me just tell you this right here. Don't fear. When we all the time praying for stuff, is because we think that we have some kind of ability to make it happen. Let's just seek God. Somebody say, seek God. Look at this. And turn from their wicked ways. Somebody say turn. Now look at the process here. He said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How many want your land healed? That's the process. Amen. Humble yourself. Somebody say humble yourself. Pray. Somebody say pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Amen. Now, this is the benefits of prayer. So let's briefly go over here to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Is that a good reason to get you to pray? Matthew chapter 6. Let me tell you something. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Listen, I don't care what you're going through right now. Okay, Holy Ghost, I'm just going to keep Matthew chapter 6. But while you're going to Matthew chapter 6, I want you to go on over here to Psalms chapter 63. Psalms chapter 68, I mean. Psalm 68. I just got somebody say, I got to obey the Holy Ghost. See, because I want your faith to be built up. Because I know people are going through things. Amen. Raise your hand if you're going through something. You need God to show up in your life right now. Amen. I need God to show up yesterday. I need him to show up last week. Amen. I just got to give you what he's given me. Amen. Is that all right? Let's build our faith up together. Amen. Because number one, we need to know that he is very able. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 that God is able to do exceeding. Somebody say exceeding. Abundantly above what we ask and what we think. According to the power that worketh in us. The word worketh is the Greek word energio, which means God's spirit energizing us, causing these things to come to pass. Now let's look at Psalm 68. Let's read the first verse together. You ready? Verse 1 and verse 2. It's it. 1, 2, 3. Let God arise. Stop right there. What does the word let mean? You and I have to allow him to do what? And watch this. When we allow him to rise, watch what's going to happen. Let his be what? Now, here's the coin again. The head side is we allow God to arise. The tail side is that the enemy is going to scatter. When we allow God to arise, how can we allow God to arise in our prayer life? This is how I see it. I just kind of read the Bible like this. When I spend time in God's presence, God is drawing. I can't get no more closer to God than I already am, whether I pray or not, because God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. Amen. God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere all the time. So I'm close to him, but my awareness of him can grow. Come on, somebody say amen. So when I spend time seeking his face and praying, my awareness of his presence begins to grow. And the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. See, some people don't have joy because they don't spend no time in his presence. If you're cranky and amen, come on, somebody say amen, and mean and cantankerous and all that stuff like that, it's because you need to be in his presence. The more you get into, I'm going to tell you something, I'm just going to warn you. The more you get in God's face and get in God's presence, you can't be around everybody and everybody's conversations. Because what's going to happen is that you're going to feel those negative vibes poking at your glory. I'm trying to show you something here. So you have to let God arise, and then the enemy is going to scatter, because Satan, he don't like God's presence. So the more you spend time worshiping, that's why praise and worship is so important. And if we got to get Minister Julie Page to get up here and teach a series on praise and worship until everybody understand the importance of it, that's what we're going to do. This is why praise and worship is so important, because when we worship and we praise and we spend time with God, his presence begins to increase in our life. And our awareness of who he is, it increases in our life. And then all of a sudden, the devil can't be around God's presence. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Is somebody feeling this tonight? Watch this right here. Look at what verse 2 says. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the what? Now, picture wax and fire. When fire comes on the scene, wax has to move. Are you catching what I'm saying? The Bible said, as smoke is driven away. He's letting you know the more God's presence increases in your personal life, when you spend time praying, Satan can't touch you. My God. Now, Matthew chapter 6. I said this last week. Tell me my time, somebody. I got 10 minutes. We're going to get it out, and we will finish it next week. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. It says, and when thou prayest, indicates that you have to have a time that you pray. Let's get over this. I don't need to pray but during church time. Every day. Somebody say every day. Every day I pray. Say this after me. Say, little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. Now, little prayer means you spend a little time in prayer, you're going to fight your battles with your strength. You spend no time in prayer, you're going to fight your battles with your strength. But if you spend time, much time in prayer, you won't even fight your battles. The Lord going to fight them for you. I'm trying to help you out here. Somebody say amen. Now, I think they had a saying. Somebody might know the saying. It was popping up, but I didn't want to mess it up. But it says something like, 1 week without prayer makes 1 week. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Makes one, O-N-E, week, W-E-A-K. Not week, W-E-E-K. Makes you weak. Thank you, Stephanie. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, somebody say, I pray. Every day. Okay, and I'm just going to challenge you because we're just going elementary and we're going to bring it out elementary tonight. What time do you get up for work? Somebody help me out. Brother John, what time do you get up for work? I'm picking on you tonight, sir. What time? 3:15 in the morning. Amen. What's the best time for you to pray? Is it morning time or night time? Before you get to bed, it's morning time. So, man, the best time, get up like, well, you got to get up and wash up and all that good stuff like that. But say you get up, you pray while you're at work. You pray, that's good too. Amen. That's good too. I used to pray in tongues all the time on my way driving to work. You know what I mean? But just a challenge. Take 15 minutes before that and take time at home and just meditate the word and pray like that. Who prays at nighttime? Somebody raise your hand if you pray at nighttime. We're going to help you. What time do you pray, Gerard? All the times of the night. Amen. Let me tell you something. Write this down, everybody. Make an appointment with God and keep it. How many has appointments with people? This is important. You have appointments with people. Amen. Now, when Pastor Healy used to tell me this right here. He said, when you late to an appointment with me or you late on the job working for me, he said, you're dishonoring and disrespecting me. And he said, if you're disrespecting and dishonoring me, you're disrespecting and dishonoring God. Come on, somebody say amen. Somebody say, we got to work on some of these things. Okay? Now, if I make an appointment with Bill Winston, I'm just going to use him. Say I make an appointment with Bill Winston, and I got that appointment with him, and I show up 10 minutes late. And I actually did that with Bishop Butler. Lord Jesus, forgive me. It was a car accident happened on 23. I mean, real live excuses happen, you know what I mean? But the excuse that I gave didn't even really matter. When I first walked in the door, he looked at me. He said, young man, he said, you're 15 minutes late. We only have 45 minutes. Didn't he say that, Rosie? That's what he said to me. And I felt so little because I dishonored his time. But God still moved. God still moved. It was powerful. You know, I told him it was an accident. And it really was an accident blocking the traffic on 23. So we couldn't get to 96 and get to Word of Faith at the time. But here's the point I'm trying to make. If we make an appointment with a man and it dishonors that man and it throws his schedule off, how much more when we make appointments with God? See, we treat God too loosely. Some of us don't even make appointments with God. Some of us, our appointments are off the cuff with God. Why? Because we don't never come to him until a situation is terrible enough that it presents itself where we have to come to him. Come on, somebody say amen. That's why the Bible says when you pray. Somebody say when you pray. He said, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the street corners. I'm going to translate this right here. It's easy to come in front of the church and pray in front of people. But God want to know what you're doing in your secret place. What are you doing at home by yourself? Come on, somebody say amen. What are you doing at home by yourself? When you're all by yourself, when there's nobody there but you, amen. Are you taking time with God? Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Look at this right here. He said, that they may be seen of me, and verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your what? your closet or your secret place. Now, when I first got born again, I saw this word closet. I literally went into my closet. I sat down in the closet and clothes were swinging over my head. And I was more shake head, blah, blah, blah. And I was praying. But you know what? God honored that. But this word closet means bed chamber. Somebody say bed chamber. One of the translations mean bed chamber. It's the place, watch this. It's the place where two people become intimate. See, you got to get intimate with God. You can't just spend time with God for what he can do for you. You got to spend time with God just because you love him. Listen, when we start spending time with God just because we love him, we're going to start seeing what he can do for us. Are y'all catching this right here? That's the difference between seeking his face and seeking his hand. Amen. Somebody say amen. He said, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you shut the door, pray to your Father, which is where? He's in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you what? That means when you spend time with God, everybody going to know that you spend time with God because it's going to start showing up in your life. How many want God to show up in their life? Amen. How many going to spend more quality time with him now? I just want you to get in agreement with me and my wife and the staff. I'm so excited about what the Lord is doing in our ministry. Amen. I'm not looking at what I could see. I'm not carnal. I'm not looking at who's not here. I'm not looking at none of that, how much we don't have. You want to know why? Because I see us every morning a couple hours in the Holy Ghost together. And the number of people who are coming are growing. And I'm challenging you. If you're sitting at home eating a bag of potato chips and watching Barney Rubble, come on into prayer. Come on into prayer. Amen. Come on into prayer, because listen, where we're going, people who don't pray ain't going to be able to hang with us. I'm going to let you know that right now, because guess what? Can I just show it to you how the Holy Ghost gave it to me? Somebody say, show me, Pastor. See, when you're at this level right here, the devils that you are against are at this level. But when you climb spiritual levels, you have to understand that you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. You come up to another level, and so does the attack that you come up to. So people who are still down here, they ain't going to be able to handle this up here. So you got to be able to move with the pastor. You can't be, hear what I'm saying? You got to be able to move with the pastor. So if I'm praying up here, you got to bring your prayer life up here. Because if you don't bring yours up here, then anybody going down here picking on you and talking to you and telling you about this and telling you about that. And the next thing you know, you're ready to run and leave the church. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, we're going to bring everybody up here. Let me keep moving. Verse 7. When you pray, use not vain repetition. Circle that. See, a lot of people who don't like to pray like to quote this part. Because it says, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard because of their much speaking. So people say, well, I don't have to pray a long time because Jesus said, much speaking is vain repetitions. No, study your Greek language. Vain repetitions mean fruitless repetitions. That means he don't want you spending time praying stuff that's fruitless. That's why we pray God's word. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, John Wesley said that nothing happens in planet Earth except a man or a woman pray. That means that if we want to see some good things happen, we have to do what? If there's bad things happen, listen, let me tell you what another man of God said. He said, there are no failures except prayer failures. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So that means if something that is going on that's out of order, we got to get ourselves in order concerning our prayer life with God. My God, I'm telling y'all, listen. I'm telling you, I could sense it in my spirit. The power of God was in this room so strong this morning, I could barely walk. When I was praying and understanding, I could barely walk through this room this morning. How many was here this morning? I could barely walk. I was walking slowly, and my words were different because the power of God was on me that strong. And I know, I sense it right now in my spirit right now because there's a burning. The Holy Spirit is going to do some powerful, miraculous things, and all he's requiring from us is some intimate time and some faith. Amen. None of that, oh, I think I know what I'm doing and all that old fleshy stuff. How many want to see God's power really touch a city? I want to see his power really, and I tried it without that. And I'm not doing that no more. Amen. Praise God. You know what I mean? The less time I spend in prayer, I begin to see all my inadequacies. But the more time I spend in prayer, I begin to see his adequacy. I'm going to wrap this up here. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. That's a powerful verse right there. Verse 9. After this manner. Somebody say manner. Therefore pray ye. That indicates you're going to pray. Now he's going to give us a manner or a pattern of prayer. And this is what has changed my life, and this is what has kept me. Because I said this statement last week. I don't think people have a problem with praying. It's just knowing how to pray. Knowing how to pray. Now some people just don't want to pray. We're going to get that out of the box, amen. Some people just don't want to pray. But I believe every member of Image of God Christian Center Church wants a close, intimate, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And because of that, I'm going to give you what has kept me for 20 years, amen. You see, listen. I'm going to say something powerful. If you're praying and you're spending consistent time with God, nothing, no addiction, nothing will be able to control you. Nothing. I'm telling you. The Bible says whoever is born of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. I'm trying to tell you something. If you understand the power that you have when you pray and God's presence, a person who is enticed by addictions and lust, come on, somebody say amen, alcohol and all that stuff, is a person that's not spending any time praying. You cannot tell me that you are a prayer warrior and you're addicted to something. And I'm not trying to come down on nobody. I'm just trying to tell you, the more that you fall in love with God after receiving his love, his presence is going to come in you, come upon you, get over you. And all of a sudden, everything that's inadequate and selfish and evil and dirty is going to just be flushed out of your life. Why? I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about poverty. I'm talking about lack. I'm talking about sickness. I'm talking about disease. I'm talking about addiction. It cannot stand where God is. The more we spend time in his presence, seeking his face, nothing can hold us. Nothing can control us. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I feel this thing tonight. But we got to spend time seeking him. Invest time knowing him. Glory be to God. Come on, somebody get in touch tonight. That's what we want. Somebody get in touch tonight. I'm telling you, we got enough people in here to change this whole country through our prayer time. Amen. Somebody give me my time. What's my time like? Five after? I'm going to finish right here. Y'all want me to finish? Anybody? Y'all want me to keep going? Anybody who want to go can go, but do y'all want me to keep going? Amen. Here we go right here. I'm going to finish it up. He said, after this manner. Somebody say this manner. I'm going to give you seven things and we're going to stop. The first thing, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Write the first one down. Hallowed be thy name. Write it down. Hallowed be thy name. This is the first pattern of prayer. When you enter to the presence of God, you hallow his name. And I can give you seven or eight or nine redemptive names. Amen. And we'll do that. But I just want to tell you about hallowing his name. This is what we say. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Sitkanu. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He's Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. He's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is always there, who will never leave us nor forsake us, never turn his back on us. He will always perfect that which concerns us. His mercy always is from everlasting to everlasting, and it endures forever. Are y'all catching what I'm saying? When you know who he is, amen, the Bible's telling us to hallow his name. Somebody say number two. Number two is thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There is no will being done without his kingdom being revealed. So in this time right here, you are praying that the Spirit of God reveal the kingdom to you, show you the kingdom, and then you begin to pray the will of God. Remember this, the will of God is the word of God. The will of God is the word of God. This is where you pray for your president. This is where you pray for your pastor. This is where you pray for your family. This is where you pray for your church members. This is where you pray for your school students. This is where you pray for everybody that you know, people that are in eminent positions. This is where you do that right there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Somebody say number three. Give us this day our daily bread. This is speaking of revelation. Come on, somebody say revelation. I'm going to finish these. I'm just going to give these seven that we can go. Number three, this is speaking of revelation. This is where you pray Ephesians chapter 1, that he would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. So you got to pray these things every single day. Do you know the devil is always bringing out accusations and negative words every day? So we just can't pray and have a good prayer time today and don't do nothing tomorrow. You got to always be putting that word in the atmosphere, because Colossians chapter 1 says all things are held together and they consist by the word of God. So how is the word of God put into the atmosphere? When we speak it. Well, guess what? You can't really speak it for me if you ain't speaking it for yourself at home. If you're getting up and you complain and all you're doing is agreeing with Satan, you're talking about your problems every day and calling up everybody and telling them everything that's going wrong in your life, guess what? You're agreeing with the enemy. But when you get up in the face of your adversary, in the face of your situation, in the face of your circumstance, and the devil got you beat up on all four corners, and you open up your mouth and say, I don't care what I'm going through, I only believe and I only speak what God says. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches. So it ain't got nothing to do with my job, my ability, my talent. Has everything to do with who God is and what he has. Guess what? I'm healed by his stripes. Don't got nothing to do with what the doctor said, nothing to do with what I ate or what I did wrong, because the devil will beat you up because of what you did wrong and what you didn't do, because he's the accuser of the brethren. But when you get to the place where you realize it, guess what? There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I might have blew it yesterday, but guess what? This ain't based on me. It's based on that unmerited favor that God has. Glory to God, man. I'm trying to tell you something tonight, because the devil will try to beat you up every time you do something wrong. You know what I mean? He tried to beat me up if I made a bad financial choice. Guess what? That was yesterday. Somebody say, that was yesterday. Ooh, I'm about to talk to you about one of them called forgiveness. We're going to get down in a minute. I'm just going to jump on over there. He said, oh my God. See, you can't just forgive people. You got to forgive yourself. Because God can't move if you don't forgive yourself. Yeah, you messed up and yeah, you made a bad choice, but you got to forget those things that are behind and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. So guess what? Everybody make mistakes. Everybody make bad choices. But guess what? God still loves you. God still loves you. And that's what you got to know. You got to get up and know that God loves you and his promises are yes and they're amen to every person that will believe. Oh my God. He said, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know the word forgive mean? It means to leave it behind. Leave it behind. Somebody say, leave it behind. I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. See, some people are messed up, and you think that your mess up is why God's punishing you. God's punishing you because you made a bad choice. That's what the devil wants you to think. That's what he wanted me to think. But guess what? I don't think like that no more, because I got a superior mindset. Lord have mercy. I got the mind of Christ, so I can't worry about what happened yesterday and what mistake I made yesterday, because today is a brand new day. Sufficient today is the things. My God, y'all catching this? I feel the anointment. My God. Just trying to build your faith up. Somebody say forgive. Now look at this right here. Go over here to Mark chapter 11 right quick, verse 25 and 26. I'm just going to show you something. Mark 11, 25, and I'm finishing right now. Mark 11, verse 25 and 26. God, I just feel that tug on my spirit, because the devil, he just want to make you think God punishing you. I want to get you free tonight. Come on, put your hand on your stomach. Come on, say, I'm forgiven, and I forgive myself right now. Every bad choice, I forgive myself right now in the name of Jesus. Look at verse 25, Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. When you stand praying, do what? Forgive. If you have aught against anybody. See, the problem here is that sometimes it's easy to forgive others, but it's hard to forgive ourselves. Maybe we're holding aught against ourselves. I'm churning the butter. You catching this right here? He said in 26, he said, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you. That sounds like Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. See, God just wants you to forgive yourself. My God. My God. Next one, verse 13. Lead us not into temptation. This one here is talking about direction. See, you got to spend time in the face of God petitioning him for direction. Now, I could tell you what I use. I use Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Lean not to my own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of my ways, and he will direct my path. The path of the just is as a shining light, shining brighter and brighter unto a more and a perfect day. I'm led by the Spirit of God. You hear me say stuff like this. I'm under the control of the Spirit of God. I'm taught by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is my tutor. And I'll say, Lord, just like Jesus, just like you, Jesus. Luke chapter 4 said you were led by the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. Come on, somebody say we led by the Spirit. See, you got to petition God on purpose for direction. Because if you get up and you don't petition him for direction, doors can open for you of things that you can do rather than what you're called to do. I'm going to tell you how accurate God is. Somebody say God is accurate. Last night I had a dream about a man that I knew over 22 years ago. The last time I seen him, I was going to jail. The last time. And last night, I hadn't had a dream about him in 20-something years. Last night I had a dream about him, and we are unpacking the church. Everybody who was with me was there. Unpacking the church van, and I heard somebody say, Claude. Claude, what's up, cuz? And he turned the van like this and hopped out, and he had dreads. And I said, oh, that's Trigger. And I walked up to him and gave him a hug. And I said, I had a dream about you last night. He said, I'll be in church Sunday. So you know what I did? Because I vaguely remember the dream, I began to petition the Holy Ghost. I said, Spirit of God, now I know you gave me that dream, so what is it about? What is it that you want to do? How do you want to? And then something popped up in my spirit, you know, pertaining to him. You know what I mean? But here's what I want to say. Man, this man gets saved, it's going to be a testimony in this city. I'm telling you, he gets saved, it's going to be a powerful testimony in this city. And I'm believing right now because we, listen, every morning, who in morning prayer with us? We call souls from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we name each city that we want them to come from. And it's not ironic that he would drive up and see me today. Somebody caught what I said. I'm trying to tell you, you got power in prayer. You got power in prayer. You can change your outcome, I'm telling you. I mean, what's the likeliness of having a dream about something you ain't seen in over 20 years and then he show up that day? When I seen him, he was a little teenager. My God. Lord, we love you so much. Now, let's finish this up right here. He said, lead us not into temptation. Somebody say direction. Watch this, but deliver us from evil. That's protection. Deliverance, it means to be snatched away from danger. You got to on purpose. Somebody say on purpose. You have to on purpose petition God for protection. This is Psalm 91. For me, it's Psalm 91. Every day, Psalm 91 should come out of your mouth. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, can I talk to the men? Can I talk to y'all men? Guess what? I know you got muscles. Glory to God. I know you think you're strong and you know what I'm saying, and you can put one on somebody, but that ain't the kind of protection your wife needs. Because your kids can hop in the car and get in a car accident that your fist can't fix. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm trying to tell you something. You are men. You are the priest of your house. You are the priest of your house. What is a priest's responsibility? To minister to God on behalf of himself and the people that he's in charge of. I'm not just a priest. You are. You are a priest. You are a priest. Us as priests, it's our job to get up and get in the face every day. It's our job that our wives and our children hear our voice praying to God. Are y'all catching what I'm saying? Young men, you are priests. We can't get up and complain about our problem. We got to get up and profess the word. Decree the word and stand on the word. So when the enemy try to attack our families, and sometimes our wives can get in fear and our children can get in fear, you know what I mean? But guess what? They just watch us stay and hold steady. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? Women, you guys are the handmaidens. Hear what I'm saying. There was a woman who kept praying, waiting on the coming of Jesus. Her name was Anna, I believe it was. And she stayed in the temple night and day until Jesus showed up. I'm trying to show you something. See, you got to be women who are willing to travail as someone given childbirth, Galatians 4:19, until Christ be formed in the men you're believing for, the sons you're believing for, the daughters you're believing for. Everything happens in prayer. Somebody say everything. I'm ending right here. And we'll come back on it next week. Y'all learning something today? How many going to pray more? Raise your hand. This ain't no religious duty. Some people say, well, Pastor, that's religious. Well, you know what? You don't pray. But I know the difference. I remember one time. I'm finished this, y'all. I just got to give you some testimonies. I remember one time, my wife can testify of this. We were living in Detroit, Michigan, and we lived in a rat house with roaches. And we were going to church. And I remember Robert Slearden came to the church. And he was up there, and the prophetic anointing hit the stage so powerful. There was a young man named Albert up there running the sound, and he was up there dancing, doing some kind of jig up in the balcony. And people left, you know, because they needed to get home, whatever the case may be. But I was like Joshua. Me and my wife stayed in the presence. And I remember music was still playing. Have you ever been in the presence of God where the sound that the music is playing all begins to change in your ears? I felt a shift in the spirit and something changed. And my wife came out of the pews. And my wife's hand was messed up because something had happened personally. But her hand was messed up. And she came running down the aisle. And we both was dancing. I can't dance worth a quarter. But I got out of myself. I didn't care who was around me. I was in the presence of Almighty God. And there were people dancing out in the aisles, dancing in the front of the stage. And the power of God was so strong, it was like a tangible blanket. That night, my wife had been believing God for, I don't know. What'd you tell me, Rosie? 7 days God told you? She told me. 7 days God told me that the wall of Jericho is going to come down in my life and I won't ever smoke again. I got a word for somebody tonight. 7 days she got in the presence of God. It broke. She ain't touched one since then. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I ain't put my wife on the spot. I'm just trying to give you a testimony. But it was in the presence. It was in the presence. It was the presence of God that changed me. It wasn't those 12-step program. It was the presence. Somebody say the presence. Somebody say the presence. Come on, say the presence. Don't y'all feel it here tonight? I feel it. It's thick in here. It's beautiful in here. The last one, he says, and we're done. He says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You ended with praise. After you've done all your petition, and after you've hallowed his name, and you've prayed the kingdom, and prayed the will, and asked for your daily bread, and forgiveness, and all those different things, and protection, you know what I mean, and deliverance, and all of that stuff like that, amen, and direction. After you did all of that, then you just begin to thank him and praise him for it. Father, I love you so much. I thank you so much that every prayer that I prayed today, because I'm a covenant child, I have a blood-bought right to answer prayer. And I believe that angels are released right now. I release you, angels. Come on. When the last time you said, angels, I release you? Come on, see, sometimes when you're carnal, the devil tell you don't have power to do that. But guess what? The angels are created for us. They're created to serve us, and I'm going to have to teach you on that. Because guess what? The angels, Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross, he said, you know, I can get how many? 14 legions of angels, and they'll come and pull me off of this right now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You got angels that you can release right now, every single day of your life. Angels, go out and gather up my inheritance, what belongs to me. I believe I receive it right now. All they're doing is waiting for us to speak the word, waiting for us to spend some time in God's presence. Amen. Come on, somebody get a Lord a hand clap. Stand to your feet tonight. What time is it? Amen. I went 20 minutes over. Is anybody mad at me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Love you guys, and I want you to get home and get your kids to school, but I really wanted to deliver that baby. Amen. I want to give it to you tonight. Amen. We're going to stay on prayer. Somebody say we're going to stay on prayer. Now, here's what it is. Tomorrow, intercessory prayer is at 8 a.m. in the morning here at the church, because we are